Shrines on the Campus of the Ursuline Sisters of Mount St. Joseph Mother House. In the spirit of St. Angela Merisi, founder of the Company of St. Ursula, we begin this journey of the heart companioned by her. Angela makes it clear that the relationships of the company continue after death and that she herself will be in our midst furthering our prayer. Across time and space with Angela, we walk the grounds of the home of the Ursuline Sisters of Mount St. Joseph. At the northwest corner of the front campus, Christ the King, feast day, last Sunday of the liturgical year. This is a medieval feast, using the metaphor king for describing Christ. Today, the implications of such a metaphor are harder to understand. Though there remains a fascination for royalty and royal families, most cultures have moved toward a more participatory form of governance. The kingdom that Jesus preached was the kingdom of his Father, a kingdom of forgiving love with no royal trappings. The scepter of this kingdom is righteousness, justice, abundant peace, and love. Christ is king in hope and faith that Jesus hasn't gone away. Reflection. A man crucified who says, "Father, forgive them," an executed criminal who can promise heaven to a thief. This is a man who is a ruler, a man in charge of himself, ruling from a cross. Jesus, the president, just wouldn't be the same. So Jesus is king whether the crowd approves or not. What is your answer to the question? Does the world still need Christ the King? Memorial Garden. St. Joseph the Carpenter, Mason of Nazareth. Feast day, March 19th. St. Joseph, husband of Mary, foster father of Jesus, was an honorable man who trusted the mysterious ways of God, heeded the voice of an angel, and went into exile to protect Mary and the baby, and provided his family security through his daily labors as a carpenter and stone cutter. He is the special guardian of the Universal Church and the Ursuline Sisters of Mount St. Joseph, the patron of married couples, carpenters, bursars, house hunters and sellers, doubters, housewives, and the dying. Reflection. Joseph honored God by his unconditional love for his spouse, Mary, by his silent trust in the mysterious ways of God, by teaching Jesus the skills of an artist and craftsman using sawhorses, carpenter tools, and stone carving knives. We are called to mirror his humility and integrity by recognizing our own gifts and using them to bring safety and happiness to others. Name the gifts God has given you to use in making the world around you a better place, more loving, more peaceful, and safe. Father Paul Joseph Volk, 1841-1919, missionary priest to North and Central America. Father Volk came from Fulda, Germany to Louisville, Kentucky in 1869, became pastor of St. Alphonsus in 1870, and built Mount St. Joseph Academy in 1874. He was a tireless missionary, building a total of 27 churches in Central America, Kentucky, and Tennessee. Worked incognito as a common laborer in the building of the Panama Canal to finance the construction of churches in Panama. Resulting from his deep faith and his devotion to Saint Joseph, he is credited with three local miracles. One, hardening of clay for the bricks used in the original academy building, still standing. Two, safely crossing the dangerously flooded Green River on horseback without even getting wet feet to attend a dying person in Reed. Three, curing a severely crippled young man in Beech Grove, Kentucky. Reflection. Father Volk's integrity, compassion, and energy for discipleship is a rich legacy for all people of faith. The Ursuline sisters take great comfort in the belief that Saint Joseph and Father Paul Volk, their two favorite men, are still in charge of Mount Saint Joseph. How is the relationship with your patron or favorite saint influencing your life? The five pioneer Ursuline sisters. These pioneer women, on whose shoulders we stand, through their undaunted courage and perseverance, planted the seeds of faith in the wilderness of Western Kentucky in 1874. They were women filled with the spirit of simplicity, trusting their own love of God, growing their own garden, harvesting grain and fruit, cleaning, cooking, sewing, doing laundry, building furniture, creating a life of prayer and community. They were women of hospitality, sharing life and home, caring for the earth, networking with neighbors. They were women serving the families, rich and poor alike, in an academy of high standing. They continue to inspire the Ursuline sisters of Mount St. Joseph to be the face of Jesus to all peoples who hunger for God in their lives. Reflection. These women brought the gift of life to this place called Maple Mount. To this day, the presence of God is felt as we walk in their shadow. The spirit that comforted and guided their journey hovers still, guiding those who come to the mount to tend their soul, rest their body, gentle their mind. These five Ursulines are among the women who throughout the ages have walked in the footsteps of the women disciples who followed Jesus, spreading the story of God's love. Name the special women who have touched your life. How did they show you the face of Jesus? The memorial wall. Deep within the human heart is the desire to immortalize heroes and heroines. The circle of names enclosing this garden attempts to express that longing to celebrate those special persons who gave us life and nurtured our dreams. Reflection. These are the mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, and friends whose lives of deep faith fired the devotion and earned the admiration of past and present generations. To speak their names with reverence and joy is a litany of praise to God, the lover and maker of us all. Many of these persons are among those who inspired you to become all that you could be, motivated you to believe, gave you hope and self-confidence. Find their memorial brick and remember why you loved them. Central Campus and East Side of Campus. St. Agnes, near the chapel east. Feast day, January the 21st. Agnes, the daughter of a noble Roman family, became a Christian and was martyred at the age of 12. Her persecutors tried to force her into prostitution. When their attempt to burn her naked body failed, they decapitated her. She is depicted holding a lamb and a palm branch. Since the 9th century, on the feast of St. Agnes, two lambs are slaughtered at the Church of St. Agnes in France. From the wool of these lambs is made the pallium, a strip of white wool with black crosses woven into the fabric, given by the Pope to an archbishop as a sign of his office. Reflection. God chooses what the world considers weak to put worldly power to shame. Agnes, a child of 12, confounded her murders with her childlike faith and trust. What would change today if church and national leaders, like Jesus, let the children come to the table where policies are made? Our Lady of Fatima, overlooking the valley near the guest house. Feast, May 13. Throughout the Old Testament, God chose prophets to call his people back to him. In recent times, God sends his mother. One of the apparitions of Mary in the 20th century took place at Fatima, Portugal, in 1917. Our Lady warned of the harm that we inflict upon ourselves because of greed and lust for power, lack of love among nations, and rejection of the gospel. Her plan of hope for the world called for daily devotion to the Rosary and a communion of reparation on the first Saturday of each month, promising that fidelity to this devotion would bring about the conversion of Russia, the end of World War I, and peaceful reconciliation among nations. Reflection. Do you desire a new world order to flood the world with love and laughter? Children who don't go hungry? Youth without war? What new vision for humanity do you carry? Is your life a poignant reminder that truth, goodness, and beauty are to be pursued and enjoyed as the birthright of every person? Teresa of Lisieux, on the left on All Saints Avenue. Feast day, October 1, patron of the missions. Many Catholics have admired this young saint known as the Little Flower. She was born in France in 1873, entered the Cloister Carmelite Monastery at age 15, and died when she was 24. Martyrdom was the dream of her youth. She also felt called to be a priest. She arrived at peace by accepting that my vocation is love. Her secret is called the little way. No act is without meaning when done within the awareness of God's abiding presence. Soon after her death, public demand was so great that this young woman, who had spent only 9 years as a Carmelite nun, doing dishes, laundry, scrubbing floors, cleaning, praying for the missions purely out of love, was canonized and named a mystical doctor of the church. The National Shrine of the Little Flower is in Detroit, Michigan. Reflection. Whatever our life situation, a mother with children at home, or a working mother, a store clerk, a scholar, a nursing home assistant, an assembly line worker, whatever, this little way is the ordinary way we can all become saints. God does not look so much at the greatness of our actions or their difficulty, but at the love with which we do them. Do you find a peaceful joy in your day-to-day living by embracing this spirituality? Saint Anthony of Padua, left on All Saints Avenue, feast day, June the 13th. Anthony became a Franciscan friar in the hope of shedding his blood for Christ. In France and Italy, he was the most renowned preacher of his day. Upon exhumation, some 336 years after his death, his body was found corrupted, but his tongue was totally incorrupt, so perfect were the teachings that had been formed upon it. Saint Anthony is known to have moved with ease in the realm of minor and major miracles, raising the dead, exorcising the devil, and having a special power of restoring lost things. Many people use this simple prayer to seek his help. Saint Anthony, Saint Anthony, please come around. Something is lost that needs to be found. Or in more desperate cases, Tony, Tony, help me please. Tony, Tony, find my keys. Saint Anthony is usually depicted holding the infant Jesus, who on one occasion miraculously appeared to him and rested in his arms. Sometimes the infant is shown holding keys and glasses that Anthony is looking for. Reflection. Praying to Anthony to find lost articles is not childish or superstitious. There are many depths to these prayers. One is the gift of clearer awareness of what we have and what we are. Another is the gift of humility, a surrender of the self-absorbed tension that can close us off to what's outside ourselves waiting to be revealed. Perhaps Anthony's greatest work is to receive the prayers of seekers whose search cannot be satisfied and help them surrender. Think of things you may have lost more important than keys and checks and contact lenses. Love, youth, health, hopes, trust, and sense of humor. Saint Jude Thaddeus, Apostle. Right on All Saints Avenue. Feast, October the 28th. Jude was a blood relative of Jesus, nephew of Mary, and reported to look much like him. He was the only apostle who joined John comforting Mary at the crucifixion scene. He planted the seeds of faith in Libya and was martyred in first century Persia, beaten to death with a club, and beheaded post-mortem. The letter of Jude, shortest book in the New Testament, is attributed to him. He is an advocate in desperate situations and lost causes. The National Shrine of St. Jude is in Chicago. Reflection. We share in the impossible grief and lament with others around us broken and scarred by various kinds of social, political, and economic abuse. Speak to St. Jude about the great needs and desperate situations that you feel up close and personal, and about those known to exist in the world. Anticipate an answer to your prayer. Our Lady of Prompt Succor Feast, January the 15th. Devotion to Our Lady of Prompt Succor, Our Lady of Quick Help, was planted in this country by the Ursulines who came from France to New Orleans in 1727. It remains characteristically an Ursuline legacy. The recognition of Our Lady as patron of the state of Louisiana is supported by the miracles that on two separate occasions saved the city of New Orleans from peril. The victory of the Americans over the British in the Battle of New Orleans during the War of 1812 and escape from the catastrophic fire of 1815. In each of these dangers, the Ursulines were asked to pray for a safe deliverance. Both times, Our Lady of Prompt Succor came to the rescue. America was saved from British rule. The wind changed course and the fire went out to sea. New Orleans boasts of the national shrine of Our Lady of Prompt Succor. Reflection. Our Lady of Prompt Succor Shrine here at Maple Mount was built to fulfill a promise made by two Ursulines of Mount St. Joseph who were on a cruise in the Caribbean with relatives when a hurricane threatened the destruction of everything in its path. The sisters asked Our Lady of Prompt Succor to spare their ship and the lives of its passengers and crew. Their ship was among the few that safely reached shore. Typically, sons quickly respond to a mother's request. Jesus is the classic loving son. Can you attest to the wisdom of taking this approach to Jesus through Mary and asking for blessings in time of need? The crucifix. Entrance to the cemetery. This cross is not made of wood, as was the cross of Jesus. Rather, the craftsmen used non-perishable marble to best preserve its outdoor presence. No matter the medium, the cross always symbolizes the tree of life. In the cross, there is no good and evil, as in the tree of paradise. A tree once caused our death, now a tree brings life. This tree does not cast us out of paradise, but opens the way for our return. The wonders of this tree were foreshadowed by the figures that existed in the Old Testament. The wood of a tree enabled Noah to build the ark and escape the great flood. The wooden rod of Moses prefigured the cross when it changed water to blood, swallowed up the false serpents of Pharaoh's magicians, divided the sea with one stroke, then restored the waters to their normal course to save God's people. Aaron's wooden rod, blossoming one day in proof of his priesthood, was a figure of the cross. Abraham's action foreshadowed the cross when he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the pile of wood. Reflection. We stand beneath a crucifix, the final sermon on the mount. Jesus ascends the pulpit, stretches himself between heaven and earth, embracing in his extended arms all who thirst for justice. There is no easy, sophisticated, clinically sterilized way to renew the world, to establish righteousness and bring about peace. We who desire to change oppression to love, hatred to service, must nail our own selfishness, self-righteousness, indifference, haughtiness, and security to the cross. Following Christ means feeling the searing guilt of our sin and carrying our cross to Calvary. The cemetery. In the communion of saints, we remain united with our loved ones who have died. When a sister dies, we come here to bury her as if it were a wedding feast, knowing that love is forever hers. Walking in the shadow of such holiness, we feel no need to be lonely or afraid. Father Volk and priest, who, at their request, are buried here, give witness to the love and friendship that so gracefully and generously bound us together in ministries over the years. Reflection. We have been redeemed by Christ Jesus, gathered into one flock, destined for our eternal home in heaven. The souls of the bodies resting in this holy ground have reached that eternal destination. Life in Christ is no longer mystery. Faith and hope are gone. Only love endures. Believing in the promise of an everlasting gathering of the body of Christ in heaven at earth's final time, we pray for them and with them, praising God's undying love and mercy. On this journey, we have celebrated our faith at shrines which indicate the memory of Christ our King, and those which celebrate moments in the history of the Church. We meditated at shrines honoring the Mother of God, those that keep alive the example of the saints, and memorials of other holy people. As we experienced a yearning for intimacy with God, this journey became a gift of grace, an encounter with divine love. It is fitting to remember that for Christians, pilgrimage symbolizes the experience of human persons as travelers who set out as soon as leaving the womb on a journey spiraling through the time and space of human existence that leads to homecoming with God.